"It's all part of the natural order of things," he said. After a while, he made a few pencil annotations to the paper in front of him and looked up. "I said," he said, "that you may go." Vimes paused at the door. "Do you believe all that, sir?" he said, "about the endless evil and the sheer blackness?" "Indeed, indeed," said the patrician, turning over the page. "It is the only logical conclusion." "But you get out of bed every morning, sir?" "Hm? Yes? What is your point?" "I'd just like to know why, sir." "Oh, do go away, Vimes, there's a good fellow." In the dark and draughty cave, hacked from the heart of the palace, the librarian knuckled across the floor. He clambered over the remains of the sad hoard and looked down at the splayed body of Once. Then he reached down, very gently, and prized the summoning of dragons from the stiffening fingers. He blew the dust off it. He brushed it tenderly, as if it was a frightened child. He turned to climb down the heap and stopped. He bent down again and carefully pulled another book from among the glittering rubble. It wasn't one of his, except in the wide sense that all books came under his domain. He turned a few pages carefully. "Keep it," said Vimes behind him. "Take it away. Put it somewhere." The orangutan nodded at the captain and rattled down the heap. He tapped Vimes gently on the kneecap, opened the summoning of dragons, leafed through its ravaged pages until he found one that he'd been looking for and silently passed the book up. Vimes squinted at the crabbed writing. "Yet dragons are not lichen unicorns, I willen. They dwelleth in some realm defined by the fancy of the will, and thus it might be that whomsoever calleth upon them, and giveth them their pathway unto this worldy, calleth their own dragon of the mind. Yet, I trow, the pure in heart may still call a dragon of power as a force for good in the worldy, and this one night the great work will commence. All hath been prepared, I hath laboured most mightily to be a worthy vessel." A realm of fancy, Vimes thought. That's where they went then, into our imaginations. And when we call them back, we shape them like squeezing dough into pastry shapes. Only you don't get gingerbread men, you get what you are, your own darkness given shape. Vimes read it through again, and then looked at the following pages. There weren't many, the rest of the book was a charred mass. Vimes handed it back to the ape. "What kind of a man was de Malachite?" he said. The librarian gave this the consideration due from someone who knew the dictionary of city biography by heart. Then he shrugged. "Particularly holy?" said Vimes. The ape shook his head. "Well, noticeably evil, then." The ape shrugged and shook his head again. "If I were you," said Vimes, "I'd put that book somewhere very safe. And the book of the law with it. They're too bloody dangerous." "Ooh." Vimes stretched. "And now," he said, "let's go and have a drink. Ooh. But just a small one. Ooh. And you're paying. Ooh." Vimes stopped and stared down at the big, mild face. "Tell me," he said, "I've always wanted to know, is it better being an ape?" The librarian thought about it. "Ooh," he said. "Oh, really?" said Vimes. It was next day. The room was wall-to-wall with civic dignitaries. The patrician sat on his severe chair, surrounded by the council. Everyone present was wearing the shiny waxen grins of those bent on good works. Lady Sybil Ramkin sat off to one side, wearing a few acres of black velvet. The Ramkin family jewels glittered on her fingers, neck, and in the black curls of today's wig. The total effect was striking, like a globe of the heavens. Vimes marched the rank to the centre of the hall and stamped to a halt with his helmet under his arm, as per regulations. He'd been amazed to see that even Nobby had made an effort. The suspicion of shiny metal could be seen here and there on his breastplate, and Colon was wearing an expression of almost constipated importance. Carrot's armour gleamed. Colon ripped off a textbook salute for the first time in his life. "All present and correct, sir!" he barked. "Very good, sergeant," said Vimes coldly. He turned to the patrician and raised an eyebrow politely. Lord Vetinari gave a little wave of his hand. "Stand easy, or whatever it is you chaps do," he said. "I'm sure we needn't wait on ceremony here. What do you say, Captain?"